opportunity to come now to study the Word of God, as we've been blessed to do so this morning. It's always wonderful. As Sally had made mention, we do have a list over there on the side of our gospel meetings that we've went ahead and tried to schedule a little in advance. But there is room on the bottom if you have anyone that you do want to suggest, if you want to put their name down and a way to contact them. We're more than willing to try to do that. We are scheduled out next year in the spring of 2024, but if it's someone who does a lot of gospel meetings, then we might have to plan that far ahead, like made mention when we, on I think Wednesday night or so, at Brother McPherson, he scheduled out all the way till 2028. So some of them do have to be scheduled out in the future to be able to get them. So if you do have anyone you want to suggest, you can write their name over there and a way to get a hold of them if you know a way to, or at least what congregation they're at, so that we can look them up and be able to get a hold of them and schedule further meetings for the future. This morning I want to bring out a lesson. I believe I've done lessons on who is God in the past. I've done one who is the Lord, or what is the Bible, and kind of brought out a few different views and mindset of who they are or what it is. And so this morning, kind of that same mindset, I'm going to go forth and talk about who am I? Who am I? And of course, I want to open up the Bible and search the scriptures to see what it is it has to say about who I am, and just bring out a few points this morning about that. And the first thing I want to bring out is that as we ask that question, because it's a question of who am I, and to am I important? Why me, you know? And we sometimes question our self-identity or our self-worth, is what I want to say, self-worth, and what makes us important. And so first thing I feel that I should bring out when we talk about who we are is to bring out that we are God's creation. We are a creation of God, and more so than other creations of God. And to the point that, yes, we can go to Genesis 1 and start in verse 1 and go through God creating the world and the heavens and the earth and the light and separating the light and God forth bringing the trees and the grass and the birds and the living creatures. But God made us different. God created you and me. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. So God created us a little more different, because as you go read about the birds, and you go read about the living creatures of the world, it says according to their image. And then when it came to us, though, he says we're going to make them in our image. We were made in the image of God, and God feels that there's more worth. There's more worth in us than the cows and the pigs and the birds and all the fish of the sea. We are worth more than any of those. Because you go to Genesis chapter 9, Genesis 9 in verses 3 through 6, Genesis 9, 3 through 6, it says, "Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything, but you shall not eat the flesh, with it its life, that is the blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning from every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require reckoning of the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image." And so he says, for animals, again, yeah, you're not supposed to eat the blood under the Old Testament. You're not supposed to. But he said, every living creature that moves, use for food. But when it comes to man, the person who sheds the blood of man is going to have his blood shed. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. And you go to Matthew chapter 6 there and read what it tells us there when they were asking Jesus whether or not we should pay taxes. And I know we go there to talk about taxes, and that's not the point of this lesson at all. But Jesus' answer is about this lesson. He Because he goes forth and says, well, whose image is on your coins? Whose image is on the money that you have? And what is that? Caesar's. And he says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. So, and so the way we know what is Caesar's is it has his image on it. You get your wallets out, you get your purses out, you take out a billfold, and you look at your dollar bill, and you see what's on it. You look at your quarter, your dime, your nickel. It's got the face of government up on it. It's the government's property. But what has the image of God on it? Well, you and I do. God created that money. God created us. But what has God's image on it? You and I do. Humans do. And that's what Jesus is really focused on. Jesus is pointing out why we worried about money. God wants you to give yourself, your soul, your life over to God. Render yourself, render what is God's unto God. And so we have more self-worth than all the other creation in this world that God has made. God created us. We are a creation of God. It's just a wonderful thought as you think. And that, actually, that's the Mark's verse. I see what I had there. Matthew 6. I'm getting ahead of myself. Matthew 6, verse 26 there, was talking about seek ye first the kingdom of God shortly after that. And what he's talking about there is look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. And he says, are you not more valuable than they? Because today they're here, tomorrow they're thrown into the oven. But what? We have an eternal soul. So time and again, as much as God's creation is beautiful, as much as I enjoy sitting out in the woods and watching the birds, watching not necessarily the squirrels because they make too much noise and you think they're a deer every time. But the deer, and when you see a rabbit or you see the fox running through the woods and you see the variety of creatures of God's, it's just, it's beautiful. God did an excellent job. But God says that today they're here, tomorrow they're thrown out. How much more value are you than all these other things? God made us special. But then you can sit back and say, well, that's for everybody, right? And yes, it is. God created each and every one of us. Every human person that's lived upon this earth, and to that point of view, we are all equal. But again, God does have a special care for you. He has a special love for you. In Matthew chapter 18, if you turn along with me there. Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 10. Matthew 18 and in verse 10. It says here, see that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that in heaven, their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountain and go in search of the one that has went astray? And if he finds it, truly I say to you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that went astray. That never went astray. So it is not the will of the Father who's in heaven that one of these little ones should. And it's trying to bring up the self-worth of just one. Just one single person, one single soul. How important it is to God. How much rejoicing there is in heaven with the angels and God and our Lord over one person when they give their life over to God. When they have fallen away and they return back to God. How much rejoicing there is. Please understand how important you are to God. How important we are. And so when you ask who I am, you stand strong and firm, saying, I am a creation of God. I am important to the Lord. So important that He sent His Son down to die so that your sins can be forgiven. Another way to look at who I am, this one's not always the most popular mindset, because who wants to be a servant? Who wants to be the slave? And we would take that term and we put it together with the mindset of being under somebody, being subjective under somebody, being that person that has to do what the master says. But understand, we are servants. We are servants of the Lord. We are servants of God, and we are to be working. We are to be submissive to Him. We are to do as He has said. We are servants. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 24. As it reads here, it says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach patiently, enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of truth, that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." We are servants. Here it says that here's what you're supposed to be doing as what? As a servant. This is the way my servants are going to act, is what God is saying. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1, again, Paul has an excellent example as he starts a lot of his letters off, bringing out how he speaks of himself. It says, "Paul, a servant," or as some translations, "a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God." Paul, clearly, he makes it clear, even though he was the apostle Paul, that went from place to place and that was teaching all these things that people knew about. He says, "A servant. I am the servant." And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 5. It says, "What then is Apollo?" What is Paul? "Servants through whom you believe, as the Lord assigned to each." So here, as they're divided about who is greater, Paul says, "Who am I? Who is Apollo?" We are simply servants. I planted, you watered, but we're both servants. That's all we are. We are simply servants of the Lord. And so we're not greater than servants. That's all we are. That's all we can hope. And again, that's what we are. We're supposed to go forth and work and do the work of the Lord. And so we are servants of the Lord. Another point to bring out is that we are friends. And this is another mindset that I think sometimes we get away with, of not really thinking about our relationship with the Lord. But I believe we can take this relationship, we can take this mindset and thought of being a friend of the Lord. In James 2 and verse 23, in James chapter 2 and verse 23, it says here, "And the scriptures was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." And so here's an example in the Old Testament of Abraham in the relationship. And again, he had, I would say, a special relationship with God. Especially as we know God spoke to him, God told him to leave, Abraham left, Abraham followed through, he even had his name changed from Abram to Abraham. He had that special relationship. But he also offered up his son, and then it was counted unto him his righteousness, his faith. But we can have that relationship with God, not necessarily as God directly speaks to us, that we hear Him. But we do talk to Him. We do open up His Word and listen to Him. And we do have a relationship with Him. Exodus 33 and verse 11, again, as we look at the relationship of God and Moses, Exodus 33 and verse 11, it says here, "The Lord Jesus used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend." What? "When Moses turned against the camp, and his assistant Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent." And so even the relationship between Moses and God, they had a relationship such as a friend. And then Jesus to his disciples in John Herod kind of brings out that you're no longer servants. He brings that point out of going from one point to another. In John chapter 15 and verse 15, John 15 and verse 15 says, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friend, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." And so here he says, you guys have moved up in status. He says, you guys were servants, I no longer call you servants. Why? Because he's revealed what is going to take place. He has revealed to them the things that need to be known. He says, a servant doesn't need to know that stuff. A servant simply needs to be told to go do it, and they need to go do it. They don't need to know why. They don't need to know what's going to come next. They are told what to do. They are to do. God has revealed to us through his word, well, the Lord is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to separate us. He's going to judge us. He's going to have some on the right, some on the left. And we better be ready for that day. He has revealed to you, to me, what lies in the future. So I believe we can sit back and say, hopefully you can say that you are a friend of God. You're a friend of the Lord. And that we can go forth and speak to him as a friend also. He should be a friend. We should be a friend. Another way to look at who am I as we go down this line is that we are children of God. You know, getting even further in that relationship, you know, we're going from just a creation, something that was made, to becoming a servant, that something that can serve and participate, to being a friend. But more than a friend, we become family. We become a child of God. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 26, Galatians chapter 3, and in verse 26, as it reads here, and it says, "For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many as you were baptized into Christ Jesus have put on Christ." And so here, as we obey the gospel, we are what? We are children of God. That's why when Jesus was asked, what must be done? What can I do? He answered, well, you must be born again. Well, here's that new birth. And as we have a new birth, we gain God as our Father. We become children of our Father up in heaven. And there's a difference of saying, well, I'm a creation of God, and saying, I am a child of God. I'm a child of the Father. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 7 says, "So you no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." No longer a slave. Again, you've moved your status point from one to the other. You've joined the family. You've been adopted. You've been inherited in. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18. It says, "And I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty." Again, just time again through the scriptures that relationship in which we should have, that we can trust in our Father up above, that he is going to be there, that he is going to take care of us. Again, that's, you go back to Galatians chapter 6, and look how he says he takes care of the birds, he takes care of the fields, and he provides for them. And how much more will he take care of you? Why do you worry about these things? The Father is going to make sure you have what you need. That's his job. He's going to provide for you. God loves us. He's going to take care of us. In Mark chapter 3 and verse 34, you know, again, looking at our Lord and Savior's answer when his mother and siblings were actually his biological blood, you know, siblings, family was looking for him. And so here in Mark 3 and verse 34, he says, "And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, 'Here is my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother.'" Again, that's why we can go to Timothy and see that's how we're supposed to treat one another. Older men as fathers, older women as mothers, younger men as brothers, and younger women as sisters. We're supposed to be a family. Who am I? I am a child of God.
These are my brothers and sisters. We are a family in Christ. You just think about, when you get asked that question, well, who are you? What? You know, you get caught up in answering those questions. Well, you might say you're a teacher. You might sit there and say, well, I'm a manager, and I'm this, and I'm that, and I do carpentry, all right? Should we not start off with, I am a child of God. I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm a friend of Christ. This is who we are. And that's why I serve as if I were serving the Lord in whatever I'm doing. That is why I act with so much passion. That's why I can be joyful during bad times. It's because my relationship with my Father, because who I truly am. In Hebrews chapter 2, in verse 11. It says, for he who sanctifies, and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell you your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children of God has given me. Just how wonderful a statement you can say that we are children of God. We have that relationship with our Lord and Savior. And with that mindset, we've already said it in one of the other verses, but coming back to it, is that we're heirs. Josiah, I think, had to read a verse for class about being heirs in Christ for his Bible class. He was asking, what's heirs? We're heirs in Christ. We inherit the blessings and the inheritance from the Father up above. In Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God. And fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified. It goes so much further than, you know, we started off, we're over here, we're just, you know, a speck, a creation, something that might be forgotten. No. You're created in the image of God. You're special. He loves you. We've messed up, and so he provided a way in which you can be forgiven, and that you can become a servant, that you can become a child of God. And now that you become a child of God, if you are willing to follow faithfully and put your trust in the Father and willing to go through the hardship that follows through with it, you have an inheritance. An inheritance that you can receive from our Lord and Savior. What a wonderful thought that we are joint heirs. Again, get caught up in asking, what am I worthy to receive? Who am I really? You know, I'm going to sit back and say, well, I'm not worthy of that inheritance. Who am I to deserve a home in heaven? Who am I to deserve to go to a place with a street of gold and precious jewels and to never have pain and suffering anymore? That's how God feels about you. That's how much God loves you and cares for you. That you can receive this inheritance from our Lord and Savior. It's just a wonderful thought. And I know there's more that we can put down in this question of who am I? You know, we can go to the kids and children's song and bring out Bible verses that go along with, I am a soldier of the Lord, one who is willing to stand up and fight for what is right. Yeah, we may not have, you may not go around and carry an actual gun, and you may not go around and march and put on the army clothing. No, we have a sword that is sharper than anything else that can reach the soul, the heart. Sojourners, we are workers of God to go out and teach. We're just pilgrims here on earth waiting to get to that home in heaven. So I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation. And I have to ask the question, you can, yes, everybody can answer the first question if you are a creation of God, because that is everybody. But the last three points that we've been talking about, of being a servant, and being a friend, and being a child of God, is dependent on you obeying the gospel, on you choosing
to give yourself over to the Lord and submitting to Him and allowing Him to receive you and give you that spirit of adoption to not be afraid any longer, but to call on to Him as a Father up in heaven. So if you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we encourage you to do it. If you're here and you are a child of God and you need prayers to assist you, you need your brothers and sisters in Christ to be there for you, let us know what it is we can do as we stand and sing.
And you